Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Andrew Doerr. I appreciate you taking some time today. I'll do what I do each and every week and just remind you that what you're about to hear today should not be considered individual investment advice, but instead is just our opinion on what's going on with the markets and the economy. If you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio, I'd encourage you to give us a call. With that, let's go ahead and get started. You know, it was another decent week in the markets. It was a positive week. The S&P recorded its fourth positive week out of the last five. The Barclays Global Aggregate Bond Index has followed a similar track. The things that caused the issues in equities and bonds last year and created a rough run are having a largely opposite impact as we enter the second quarter of this year. It hasn't been so bad thus far. But much like last year, the news was dominated last week by discussion of the Fed, by interest rates and inflation. And while the topics are the same, the narrative is really starting to change. And this shift in messaging is one that I think may portend the end of the rate hike cycle. But let's take a look at it and see what we learned last week. I'm going to start with the Fed. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting minutes for the March meeting came out last week. So before we go through the new news, let's go through the old news. The old news is, what did they actually say in their meeting when they met in March? I've never understood why they released those minutes a month later. I think their little fingers on the keyboards can work faster than that, but that's the way they do it. So as expected, most of the FOMC's discussion last month centered around the concerns we were experiencing in the banking sector and what those concerns might mean for interest rate policy. But there were a couple of important things to note. Number one, as Powell discussed in his press conference, the committee does believe that while the banking sector remains, quote, strong and resilient, the issues raised by the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and others were, quote, likely to result in tighter credit conditions for households and businesses and weigh on economic activity, hiring, and inflation. Second, the Fed said flat out in the minutes they believe a recession is coming. Now, they also said that they believe it is going to be a mild recession starting sometime later this year, and they do anticipate the unemployment rate to go up a bit, but not as high as they were projecting a year ago. And number three, inflation is falling. We have to say that. It is falling. It's not falling as fast as the committee would like it, or frankly, as fast as we would like it at the time of the meeting anyway, but it is falling. All of this led to a couple of interesting passages I want to read from the minutes. And they were all in a paragraph in, I think, page 8 or 9 of the minutes. So let me read a couple quotes to you, and I'm going to come back and talk about them. The first quote, quote, several participants noted that in their policy deliberations, they considered whether it would be appropriate to hold the target range steady at this meeting. So there's several people that are saying they thought about not raising rates at all in the last meeting. The other quote, some participants noted that given persistently high inflation and the strength of the recent economic data, they would have considered a 50 basis point increase in the target range to have been appropriate at this meeting. So this is the opposite opinion. The economy is going a little too good. Inflation is a little bit too high. We might want to raise rates by 50 basis points. In the end, the Fed unanimously agreed at the meeting to the middle. They met in the middle and raised rates by 25 basis points. But cracks are starting to show amongst the members on the path forward. I'd remind you that words matter when it comes to the Fed minutes. It is notable that, quote, several participants wanted to stop rate hikes while, quote, some participants wanted to push a more rapid hiking path. Several is more than some. So let's come then to the inflation data, because at the same time as the minutes were coming out, we also received the latest inflation data. We were blessed with both the CPI data, consumer price index, and the PPI data, producer price index. We got data for both of those last week. We saw a significant and better than expected shift in overall CPI data. The month-over-month calculation grew at just 0.1% versus 0.2% expected, and the year-over-year number dropped from 6% growth in inflation to 5%. The expectation had been 5.2. Core CPI, on the other hand, came in right as expected. Month-over-month number came in at 0.4, which was down a smidge from 0.5 last month. The PPI numbers, though, were equally good. PPI tends to lead CPI, right? The impacts of cost increases hit producers first, consumers second, and the data is starting to reflect the Fed's hopes. We saw 3.4% core PPI and 2.75% for all items CPI, or PPI, excuse me. What's notable, I think, is that overall CPI and overall PPI came in lower than core last month. That is the first time we've seen that inversion since January of 2021 for CPI, and that inversion happened last month for PPI. It was the first time it had happened since early 2021 as well. Why? The first reason is energy prices. We've now hit the one-year mark for measuring the impact of the energy costs from the Ukraine war. You will recall that energy prices spiked aggressively last February and March due to fear of the impact of the war on oil and natural gas prices. It turns out that the U.S. does a pretty good job of providing our own energy needs. And once again, we're a net exporter of energy, so prices have fallen and stabilized. The second reason is one you've heard me talk about a ton on here, and I know I sound like a broken record, but it's shelter inflation. Shelter costs now make up 43.7%, almost 44% of the calculation for core CPI. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the cost of shelter rose another 0.6% in March. That's after increases of 0.8% in February and 0.7% in January. The most polite way I can say this is bogus. It's bogus. It's just a bad data set. These numbers have been growing well outside the bounds of what the world is actually seeing right now, especially when it comes to that owner's equivalent rent data set that I've talked about for so long. According to the BLS, rents have been rising and rising and rising, but when you look at the actual data, when you pull the data from Zillow, which has actual rent data in it, what that shows us is that rents peaked in September. And while we're getting our typical rise in rents that we see in the springtime, they still haven't cleared the number we saw on September 30th. And even more importantly, the Zillow estimates for future growth, 1.7% in home prices between now and a year from now. Shelter price inflation in reality has ground to a halt, but the BLS's archaic calculation has not kept pace. When it finally does catch up, core inflation is going to crater. That's in keeping with what the Fed said in their minutes this week. Because in their minutes, they announced that, quote, in 2024 and 2025, both total and core inflation were expected to be near 2%. That's going to happen, especially when the shelter numbers reverse. So finally, I want to talk about this, because we talked about some and several a minute ago. Inflation is improving. The Fed is getting close now to this point of acquiescence on interest rates. That's good news. But I think we need to expect some pain and volatility in the meantime as the process concludes. Anytime we get to the end of a process like this, it can be messy. And as we saw in the Fed's minutes, there is dissension amongst the members about what to do next. Diversity of opinion is good. I would probably be more nervous if everyone agreed with the path that we needed to go down, but it is also going to lead to uncertainty in the markets in the coming weeks. I'll point you to Friday as a great example because I got to work on Friday. I opened up the internet and I saw two articles. One was headlined, Fed's Waller says inflation is, quote, still much too high. The other said, quote, Fed can hit the mark and hold with one more rate hike, Bostic says. That's two FOMC members, Board of Governors member Christopher Waller and Atlanta Fed Governor Raphael Bostic, who have completely different views on where we're going next. Waller in the article sounded pessimistic, saying whether you measure inflation by CPI or the Fed's preferred measure of PCI, it's still much too high, and so my job is not done. Financial conditions have not significantly tightened. The labor market continues to be too strong and quite tight, and inflation is far above target, so monetary policy needs to be tightened further. That's where Waller was at. I'd guess he was one of the, quote, some that wanted to raise rates by 50 basis points last month. Bostic? He had a much different take. He said that he believed a rapid rate increases from last year were just now starting to, quote, bite, and that we've got a lot of momentum suggesting we're on the path to 2%, end quote. In fact, he even mentioned that he believes the inflation battle can be won without a recession or a significant rise in unemployment. I'm going to guess that Bostic was one of the, quote, several that was considering halting rate hikes at the last meeting. Are the some right, or is it the several? We'll see, but we shouldn't be surprised by the increasing conflict at the FOMC about this issue right now. The decision to stop rate hikes is a big one. I'd be more concerned if there wasn't conflict here. But the next Fed meeting, just less than 3 weeks from now, is going to be one of the most important we have seen since the pandemic. And we are going to know a lot more about where this is going. So we'll end it there this week. As always, if you have any questions, give us a call at the office, 515-273-1333, or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I look forward to touching base with you again soon. Thanks so much. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, NFA. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.